Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Think your neighbors are bad? Think again. This is the Nightmare Neighbors Podcast.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're diving into neighborly disputes.
Oh, fun.
But not your typical fence line arguments. We're talking about a situation with a noisy twist. You've shared some details about a situation with a neighbor's visitor and their, shall we say, enthusiasm for a train horn. And honestly, this horn honking saga is something else. Expert speaker, you've helped so many people navigate difficult neighbor dynamics. Have you ever encountered a situation quite like this?
Noise complaints are definitely a common theme, but the persistence and the escalating tactics you've described, those are unusual to say the least. There's a fascinating mix of psychology and social dynamics at play here.
Okay, so to set the scene for everyone, help me paint this picture. You live in a quiet neighborhood. Houses are set pretty far apart, large lots. Not exactly an environment where you'd expect constant noise.
It's almost as if the peacefulness of the setting makes the intrusion of the noise that much more jarring.
Right. And we're not talking about a quick honk here and there. You've described this horn as incredibly loud, something you'd expect from an actual freight train, not a pickup truck. And it's not just a one-time thing either. This happens multiple times a week, cutting through every wall of the house. Imagine trying to enjoy a quiet evening at home, maybe reading a book or having dinner, and suddenly, bam, this train horn blasts through your walls.
The frequency and intensity of the noise you've described, those are really key factors here. It goes beyond simple annoyance, and it becomes a disruption of daily life, a violation of the peace and quiet you should be able to expect in your own home.
Absolutely. So naturally, you've tried to address this in a reasonable way. You mentioned trying to talk to the neighbor, but she's been elusive, difficult to catch. It's like she's intentionally avoiding any direct conversation about this. You even took the step of calling the sheriff's department. But it seems like law enforcement has its limitations in this type of situation. Apparently, having that kind of train horn on a truck is illegal where you live, but enforcing that law is easier said than done.
This highlights a really common challenge with noise ordinances. They can be very difficult to enforce, especially in a he said, she said situation when authorities aren't there to witness the violation.
It's incredibly frustrating. So, feeling stuck, you took matters into your own hands, engaging in some, let's call it, creative problem solving, right? You installed a super bright LED floodlight aimed directly at their driveway. And the next time that horn blasted, you flooded the area with light. I have to admit, that does sound a bit satisfying in the moment.
It's understandable to feel that way. When traditional avenues fail, it's natural to want to regain a sense of control, even if it means taking unconventional steps.
But of course, things didn't end there, did they? If anything, the situation escalated. It became a back and forth. It sounds like the hornblower actually added a train whistle sound effect, played through a speaker system just to really drive the point home.
That escalation is where the psychological aspect of this becomes even more interesting. Is this a deliberate attempt to provoke you? Are they deriving satisfaction, even pleasure, from your frustration? There's definitely a power dynamic at play here, with the hornblower seemingly dictating the terms of engagement.
You're right, there is a power dynamic. And it's easy to get caught up in that, which is exactly what happened, right? You fought back with an app that plays barking dog sounds on a loop near their property line, essentially fighting noise with noise.
That tactic is certainly understandable, but it does raise some interesting questions about reciprocity. Does meeting noise with noise truly resolve anything? Or does it simply perpetuate a cycle of escalating actions?
It's a slippery slope, and it did bring a couple of days of quiet, which is a big win in this situation. But then the horn came back, even louder and more insistent. At this point, you decided to take the documentation route. You meticulously logged every horn blast, every arrival and departure time. With all of that data, you were able to get the sheriff to come out again. But even with that evidence, the officer left after a brief conversation. No ticket, no warning.
Situations like this really highlight the limitations of law enforcement. Even with evidence, clear violations, there are times when they are unable or unwilling to take decisive action. And that feeling, that lack of support from the very system that's supposed to protect you, is incredibly disheartening.
For sure. You mentioned that the silence that followed felt heavy, almost like a threat hanging in the air. And unfortunately, you're right to feel that way. Late one night, the horn returned. But this time, it was a series of rhythmic honks. You described it as almost mocking. And as if that wasn't enough, You found a bag of trash tossed onto your lawn. This isn't just noise anymore. It feels very personal.
It definitely goes beyond noise at that point. It feels like a clear attempt to intimidate, a blatant disregard for your property and well-being.
So now, here you are, facing this difficult decision, escalate further, possibly even considering legal action, or finding a way to adapt to coexisting with this symphony of horns. It's not an easy choice. Before we delve into those options, I want to understand the neighbor's role in all of this. What are your thoughts on why she might be enabling this behavior? It's her property, after all.
That's a great question. And it's tough to say definitively without more context, but it's possible that she derives some sort of enjoyment from this, maybe even a sense of power through her visitor's actions.
It's like she's wielding this horn-honking visitor as a weapon against you, but we don't know why. And then there's also the possibility that she actually feels powerless in this situation.
Exactly. It's possible she's unable or unwilling to confront him about his behavior. There might be a complex dynamic at play between them that we're not privy to.
So we have this really frustrating and confusing situation. And as you said, you're left with this choice: escalate or adapt. Let's take a deeper dive into both of those options, exploring what they might look like for you. And we'll do that right after this.
This situation really highlights the often overlooked psychological effects of persistent noise pollution. It's not just about the sound itself. It's about the feeling of invasion, that loss of control over your own environment.
It's like having your personal space violated, your sanctuary breached, and you're constantly bracing yourself, never knowing when that jarring sound is going to erupt again.
And that unpredictability adds a whole other layer of stress. The anticipation, the constant vigilance can be incredibly draining.
It's exhausting. And we can't overlook the potential health consequences. Sleep disruption, increased anxiety, even heart problems. All of those have been linked to chronic noise exposure. It goes way beyond simple annoyance.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what can you do when you're caught in this kind of situation? We've talked about the challenges with law enforcement. Are there other avenues to explore?
Well, we talked about your efforts to document the horn honking. You've been keeping a detailed log, but are there other ways to document what's happening?
You're already on the right track. Documentation can be incredibly important. And there are ways to take it a step further. Consider recording the noise. There are apps specifically designed to measure decibel levels, which can provide concrete evidence of the severity of the problem.
So it's like building a case file, gathering evidence to back up your experience.
Exactly. And sometimes the act of documenting itself can be empowering. It gives you a sense of agency, a feeling that you're not just passively enduring the situation.
It's a way of taking action, of fighting back, even if it's just on paper.
And then there's mediation. I know it can seem like a long shot, especially given your neighbor's avoidance so far, but it might be worth exploring.
That makes sense. But how would that even work? Given that she's been so difficult to even talk to, do you think mediation is a realistic option?
It might be. Mediation involves bringing in a neutral third party, someone trained to facilitate a productive conversation between you and your neighbor. Even if it doesn't completely resolve the situation, mediation can sometimes open a line of communication.
So it's not about pointing fingers or placing blame. It's about finding a way to peacefully coexist, which would be amazing.
Precisely. A skilled mediator can help establish some ground rules, ensure that everyone feels heard, and potentially guide both sides toward a compromise. Even if a perfect solution isn't reached, just having that open dialogue can be a positive step.
It's a way to break that cycle of silence and aggression.
Right. But we also need to acknowledge the reality that sometimes, despite your best efforts, you might encounter people who are simply unwilling to compromise. So then the question becomes, what happens when those initial efforts fail? What other options are there?
It's a question a lot of people in these situations face. What happens when reasoning, documentation, and even mediation don't work? Is legal action the next step?
In some cases, it might be. Legal action could involve filing a lawsuit for what's called private nuisance, depending on the specifics of your situation and the laws in your area.
Can you explain what that means, private nuisance?
Essentially, nuisance, in a legal sense, is defined as an unreasonable interference with someone's use and enjoyment of their property. So to have a case, you'd need to demonstrate that the noise is excessive and goes beyond what's considered reasonable given the character of the neighborhood.
So if you decide to pursue that route, all that documentation you've been gathering would be crucial.
Exactly. Things like noise recordings, the log of incidents, any communication you've had trying to resolve the issue, those can all become important pieces of evidence if you need to take legal action.
It's like you said, building that case file. But we also need to be realistic, right? Legal action can be a long and potentially expensive process.
It's definitely a step to consider carefully. It's not just about the financial aspect. It can be emotionally draining, and there's no guarantee of a positive outcome.
So it's really important to weigh the potential benefits against the potential costs and risks before jumping into a legal battle.
Absolutely. And even if you were to win in a legal sense, it's not a guarantee that the problem goes away. Legal action sometimes has the unfortunate effect of escalating tensions and damaging relationships in a community.
It's not an ideal solution, but it's important to know that it is an option in some situations. It sounds like there's a lot to think about, and it can feel really overwhelming when you're in the middle of it.
It absolutely can.
Yeah.
But remember, you're not alone in this. Have you thought about reaching out to other neighbors to see if they're also being affected by the horn honking?
That's a good point. There's strength in numbers. If other people are experiencing the same issue, maybe they can provide support or be willing to take action as a group.
Exactly. If other neighbors are willing, you could collectively approach either the neighbor or the authorities. Sometimes presenting a united front can be very effective.
It turns a personal problem into a community concern.
Right. And even if other neighbors haven't been directly impacted by the noise, they can still offer support and solidarity. Just knowing you're not alone in this can make it feel less daunting.
We've talked about documentation, mediation, and even the possibility of legal action. But before we wrap things up, I want to go back to the psychology of this for a moment. There's been a lot of focus on the person honking the horn. But what about the psychological impact on you? How do you cope with a situation like this?
That's a really important question. And it's often overlooked. You've been subjected to a form of harassment. Even if it's not the kind we typically think of, it's important to acknowledge the impact this has had on your sense of safety and well-being.
So what can you do to take care of yourself while navigating this situation?
It's easy to get caught up in the battle and trying to find solutions. But don't forget to prioritize your own well-being. Find healthy ways to manage the stress and anxiety this is causing. That might include things like talking to a therapist, practicing relaxation techniques, or even just spending time doing activities that bring you joy and help you feel grounded.
It's a reminder that self-care isn't selfish, especially in a challenging situation like this. You can't pour from an empty cup.
Exactly. Taking care of your mental and emotional health is essential. You deserve to feel safe and peaceful in your own home.
So we've covered a lot of ground here, from understanding the complexities of noise ordinances to exploring different avenues for addressing this conflict. But ultimately, the decision of what to do next rests with you. So we've tried reasoning with your neighbor, you've involved the authorities, you even fought back with your own sonic weapons, and you're still left with this incredibly frustrating situation. Now you're at a crossroads. You can escalate further, possibly exploring legal action, or you can try to find ways to adapt to coexisting with this symphony of horns. There's no easy answer here.
It's a tough choice, and there are so many factors to consider. Escalation, whether that's another attempted communication or pursuing legal action, might bring a sense of justice, of finally standing up for your rights and reclaiming your peace. But it also carries the risk of prolonging the conflict, adding more stress, expense, and potentially even damaging relationships within the neighborhood.
It's like you're choosing between two less than ideal outcomes. There's no guaranteed win.
Right. And then on the other hand, adaptation, while it might feel like giving in, could be the path of least resistance. It might involve exploring ways to minimize the impact of the noise. Things like soundproofing parts of your home, maybe adjusting your schedule to avoid being home when the horn is most frequent, or even seeking out support groups for people dealing with similar situations.
It's about finding ways to regain that sense of control, to reclaim your peace of mind, even if the external circumstances remain challenging.
Exactly. It's about focusing on what you can control rather than getting caught up in what you can't.
This whole situation really underscores the breakdown of basic communication and respect that can sometimes happen in neighborly relationships.
I couldn't agree more. Imagine if right from the beginning, there had been an open and honest conversation between you and your neighbor. Maybe the visitor could have been made aware of the disruption the horn was causing. Perhaps a simple compromise could have been reached.
It really highlights the power of proactive communication, of addressing things before they escalate into these entrenched conflicts.
And it reminds us that even in quiet, spacious neighborhoods like yours, we're all still part of a larger community. Our actions, or in this case, inactions, have a ripple effect. It's a reminder to be mindful of how our choices impact those around us.
So to our listener who's been grappling with this horn-honking dilemma, we want to offer you our empathy and support. The path forward might feel uncertain right now, but we have a lot of faith in your strength and resilience. You've already shown incredible perseverance in trying to find solutions. Remember, you're not alone in this.
There are resources available, communities of people who understand what you're going through. There are experts who can offer guidance and support. Lean on those resources. We believe in you.
Keep us posted on what you decide to do and how this situation unfolds. We're invested in this story and rooting for you. And to everyone listening, we hope this deep dive has given you something to think about. Take a moment to reflect on your own relationships with your neighbors. Are there any issues, even small ones, that might benefit from some open communication before they escalate? Remember, a little understanding and a willingness to compromise can go a long way in creating a more harmonious community for everyone. We'll see you next time on The Deep Dive. Until then, stay curious, stay engaged, and be mindful of the impact you have on the world around you.
Want more Nightmare Neighbors stories? Then press subscribe now wherever you're listening to this podcast. We'll give at least one brand new Nightmare Neighbor story every single day. Plus, you can always explore the archive as well. This is the Nightmare Neighbors podcast. Press subscribe now.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.